Amen. Well, today we're wrapping up our series in the book of Colossians, so I invite you to turn there. We'll be in chapter 4 today at the end. While you're turning there, I want to give you a couple of updates on some ministry things that are happening, just so you're aware. And a lot of times we participate in things and we keep going to the next thing and we don't go back and celebrate what God's doing. Most of you know that in September, October, we collected shoeboxes for New Missions. That's a ministry in Haiti and the Dominican Republic. And there's been some turmoil in Haiti. There's always turmoil in Haiti, but particularly these days. But the great news is several of the shipments of shoeboxes have made it there, which is great. I don't know that those are our shoeboxes, but ours are on the way and there, and they get, as you know, you might know, they also get fed when they go to school. They get fed, so there's their lunch of rice and beans, lots of rice and beans every day that they get fed. And so thank you for your partnership. Just a reminder that we have partner ministries all over. And one of the reasons we do our Thanksgivers meal that we had last Sunday, which was a ton of fun, lots of people, the gym was packed. If you missed it, don't miss it next year, okay? We are probably going to change up the alphabet a little bit on who brings what, because if you were there, you notice we had lots of desserts and not a lot of vegetables. So maybe we won't change it. Maybe we won't change it, but I would have liked to had some sweet potatoes. So next year, we're going to do some things. If you don't like sweet potatoes, I'm sorry. But it was wonderful. We're still collecting our Thanksgivers offering. We've received almost, as of last Sunday, almost $10,000 towards our Thanksgivers offering, which is wonderful. And as you, not everybody was excited about that. You should be, because we're partnering with ministries both here locally and around the world. One of those is called For All Mankind Movement. And if you want to keep this in the back of your mind, on September 12th, 2025, there's an opportunity for you to go with For All Mankind Movement, FAM, to India on a mission trip. So if you're interested in that, begin to pray about that. There'll be more details coming, but September 10th. I pulled my phone out because if you'd still like to give, you haven't had opportunity to give to the Thanksgivers offering, you can open your phone up, something like this, it's all it takes, and just tap the top of your phone, not the back, the top of your phone on the icon near you, if there's one near you, and it should pull up our website, and you can make a donation right there. So if you feel led to give to our Thanksgivers offering, you can do that there. Great new technology that we're able to use. We're continuing to expand that across the campus as we go. But I'm excited about those ministries that we partner with here locally through Galveston Association, our Vancouver partnership, For All Mankind Movement, and Faith Comes by Hearing. And so that's what our Thanksgivers offering will go to this year. And then finally, before we dive in, we're going to talk about people today. And our family, like your family, probably will get together at Thanksgiving. But this year, our Thanksgiving will be a little different because we have some big news in our family. Some of you know our oldest son, Reed, who happens to be present this morning. He and his girlfriend, Presley, got engaged this past weekend. And we're excited about that. So there they are. And so we're thrilled. We love her to death. She's a great young lady. And so sometime next year, they'll be married. But you can pray for them as they prepare. Pray for her parents and us also as we prepare for all that fun time. It'll be exciting. But we're looking forward to that, and we're grateful for their relationship. Well, today as we think about kind of the conclusion, the final thoughts here in the book of Colossians, it really is about people. And the underlying theme of the book of Colossians is really about Paul staying connected to the church and the church's people. The church is not just the building. It's not just coming and singing. It's not just coming to a group and being involved. The church is really the people. You are the church. I am the church. And Paul, as he wraps up this letter to the church at Colossae, which is in modern-day the country of Turkey, he is reminding them of their close connection, of their relationship, of the importance of what it means to be connected to others in the ministry. And he's the one taking the lead. He's not waiting for someone to befriend him, to connect with him, to partner with him. No, he's taking the lead by writing this letter, by encouraging them both near and far. And so let's look at the conclusion of his letter, beginning in verse 7 of chapter 4. And as I read this, then you can determine if you think I pronounced everyone's name correctly, okay? Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. He is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. And with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they will tell you of everything that has taken place here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you, and Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, concerning whom you have received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice. These are the only men of the circumcision among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have been a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured of the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has worked hard for you and for those in Laodicea and in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, greets you, as does Demas. Give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea and to Nympha and to the church in her house. And when this letter has been read among you, have it also read in the church of Laodiceans. And see that you also read the letter from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, see that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. As we wrap up this series and we think, okay, great, he just listed all his friends. How does this apply to us? I want to ask you simply kind of three questions today about your connection to others based on what Paul has written about these men and women who he's partnered with in ministry. The first question I want you to consider is, what is my capacity for people? What is your capacity for people? I have lots of pastor friends that say church and ministry would be awesome if it weren't for the people. Right? Why? Because we're all broken and messed up and we need help. That's why we come here. We come to church, we come and are part of a group, we come to worship because we need help. So what is your capacity for people? Do you long to be related to people, to be connected to people? Paul wanted the people of Colossae to know about him, and he wanted to know about them. He wanted them to understand and engage in ministry. He wanted them to be connected to the gospel. He wanted the church to feel connected to him. And he wanted to bring them encouragement through his testimony about how God had been good, even though he was in prison when he writes the letter. God was still good. Because Paul knew that we're all designed for relationship. We're designed for connection. We're designed to engage people. Whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, you're designed for relationship. And too often, I think in our context, in our culture, we wait for someone to engage us. We wait for someone to ask us. We wait for someone to come to us and say, hey, can you help? Can you be a part? Hey, will you be my friend? When Paul is modeling the idea that you and I should be going to others, that we should be the one taking the lead. When you have those moments, perhaps, where you say, you know what, I don't feel connected. No one speaks to me. No one calls or texts me. Well, maybe it's in those moments that God's calling you to do the very thing that you want to reach out, to take initiative in engaging somebody else. The last 2 months, I've had two different conversations with men in our church who are examining their mortality. They're in an age in life where they're beginning to think about their funeral, which is weird, but a reality of life, where they're thinking about what happens when I die, who and what do I want to be a part of that celebration of my life. And both of them shared with me that they spent time writing down the people that had made a difference in their life. Part of the reason is one of them wanted to figure out who are my pallbearers going to be. And so he wanted to think about the people who were close to him and had the greatest impact. The other one was just like, hey, who are the folks that have made an impact on my life that I'm thankful for? And they were amazed at how long the list was. And so I want to invite you today, as you think about your capacity for people, I want to encourage you today, if you're disconnected, if you're frustrated, if you're feeling alone, if you're hurting in some way, I want to encourage you to sit down and write out a list of the people who have made a difference in your life, who've made an impact on you. And if that list is 1 or 100, I want to invite you to thank God for that, for those people. And then, maybe, if you're discouraged and frustrated or alone or disconnected, maybe then that will empower you, that will press you, that will push you to then make sure that your name is on somebody else's list. Because that's what Paul's getting at. Is that as you and I think about our capacity for people, that really our calling is to make a difference in somebody else's life, not to wait for them to make a difference in my life. I want to make a difference in somebody else's life, so I want to be on someone else's list. So that's going to push me, that's going to call me, that's going to drive me to engage in others, to be connected with other people. It's why we have one of our main strategies as a church is to connect. So we call it connect groups, because we want to be connected to other people, do life on life, encourage one another, challenge each other, pray with each other, be together when life is hard and difficult, to celebrate the great times of life. That's what we want to do. I want to be on someone else's list. What's your capacity for people? And then as Paul rattles off all these names, it caused me to ask this question: how am I partnering with others in ministry? Who else in my life am I standing beside to advance the kingdom of God? Who am I partnering with ministry? Who have I locked arms with and said, you know what, together we're going to make a difference, not just for the short term, we're going to make a difference for eternity. Look at this list here that he gives. He lists all these guys' names. Tychicus. We'll call him Ty for short. Surely they had nicknames in the first century. Right, you have a nickname, maybe. I have a few nicknames. Ty. Ty's the guy who actually carried the letter to the Colossians. He's mentioned two other times by Paul in his other writings. He's a beloved brother and a faithful minister, a fellow servant. What a great blessing. As Tychicus is carrying this letter, to know that Paul, his partner minister, wrote that about him. Man, what an amazing thing. They were able to accomplish more together than they would by themselves. Onesimus, who is the converted slave, the slave who became a follower of Christ, he calls him a faithful brother. Aristarchus, we'll call him Archie for short. Arch when he gets older and more mature. But he's a Thessalonian. He's from Greece. He was imprisoned with Paul, so he knows what it's like. He's a fellow worker. He knows what it's like to take the slings and the arrows, to take the hits when your friend and your partner in ministry is going through challenging times. He was by his side. He didn't abandon him. It's wonderful to have those people who will stand by your side on your worst day when life is terrible and hard and difficult. You need an Aristarchus to stand with you, to stand beside you, to go through the valley of the shadow of death with you. You need those people. And Paul had that guy. And he has Mark. Some of you might know him as John Mark. He's mentioned in the book of Acts. And in the book of Acts, he's a squirrely teenager who's on a mission trip with his cousin Barnabas and the greatest missionary ever, the Apostle Paul. And Paul gets fed up with him. You ever gotten fed up with a teenager? Right? That's what happens. That's like real life. It's real life. Like, teenagers don't always make the best decisions. And so John Mark gets dismissed from the mission trip. That's not a great place to be. I'm sure they didn't call his mom back then. But he got removed from the missionary journey. But now here, Paul is saying, look, Mark, I've given you instruction about him. You need to receive him. You need to welcome him. This guy's going to make a difference in the kingdom. He is making a difference. Aren't you thankful that there are people, even when we mess up, that still believe in us? That still put their arm around us and say, hey, you got to sit on the sidelines for a bit, but you're not done. That's a partner in ministry. That's a person I can come alongside. Maybe there's somebody in your life that's messed up, that's fallen, that's made a mistake. Let me encourage you to put your arm around them and say, hey, you're on the sideline for a bit, but I'm here for you. I'm here for you. That's a partner in ministry. Who are you partnering in ministry with? And then Mark. I just said that. And then Jesus. We'll call him Justice. Or just J for short. Because calling him Jesus would have been strange back then, right? Even today, that would have been like, there's Jesus. Or is it Justice? Not that Jesus. This Jesus. Justice. To call him J. Here's a guy who is a fellow servant, a comforter for Paul. He's one who brought comfort and encouragement to Paul. He was a Jew. He mentions the circumcision. He was a Jew. So he was a guy who understood what it meant to walk from the ritualistic lifestyle of the Jewish faith and then come to faith in Jesus Christ and advance the gospel. You need some folks who have been with you in the old way and the new way. They partner with you. They stand by your side. They're an encouragement, a comfort to you. Ministry and mission takes everybody. And we all need partners. We all need people to stand beside us. We all need to lock arms with others because we can truly accomplish more together than we can by ourselves. And Paul is highlighting that in this moment. There was a study done a few years ago between a group of kindergartners and a group of Ivy League business students. A competition between a group of four kindergartners and a group of four Ivy League business students. Spoiler alert, the kindergartners won. Their task was to take 20 pieces of spaghetti, uncooked spaghetti, 1 yard of tape, 1 yard of string, and 1 marshmallow, and build a structure. The only rule is that the marshmallow had to end up on top. That was the only rule. And so the business students, as you might guess, got their assignment and they began analyzing the task. They began formulating solutions. I'm sure they whiteboarded it. Brainstormed all this. They began to assign roles to the four participants. The kindergartners, however, went right to work. Trial, error, failure, all the time. Like, just jumped in with the spaghetti and the string and the marshmallow. And in the end, the kindergartners' average height of their structure was 26 inches tall. By comparison, these Ivy League business students' average height of their structure was less than 10 inches. That's crazy to think about. Over twice as tall. Because Kindergartners didn't worry about who had the greatest skill at what. Kindergartners didn't worry about the 75 possible solutions. They just all worked together. They partnered together to build a marshmallow spaghetti tower. How amazing would that be as a five-year-old? It's so cool. How amazing would it be if you and I partnered together and didn't worry about who had what skill, who had what degree program, who had what opportunity, that we just worked together to see the kingdom of God come to Galveston and Harris and Brazoria County? What if we just did it? What would our communities look like? Who are we partnering with in ministry? How are we locking arms with each other in ministry? And then Paul mentions a couple of people here that are important, because these are folks that really are getting the job done kind of beyond him. And there are some opportunities that you and I have that we get to see and hear about people. We've talked about it this morning, our partnerships in Vancouver and India and even here in our local association. They're kind of beyond us. And so my question as I look at this is not just how are we partnering with others in ministry, but who are we supporting in ministry? He mentions three people who are very important, actually more than that, but I want to highlight three of them. Epaphras. Epaphras is in Colossae. He's a prayer warrior. He wants to encourage them to encourage Epaphras. Epaphras is a prayer warrior. He's praying that the people of Colossae would be mature in Christ, that they would understand the complete nature of Christ, that they would be rooted and grounded in his love. They would be assured of the will of God. He's probably one of the first people to preach in Colossae. And Paul brings testimony of his effort to Laodicea, the next town over. And so I want you to think about it for a minute. Think about if you had the opportunity not to preach, like stand up on a stage and lights, because I know everyone is so excited to public speak, that to speak publicly. Like, that's everyone's favorite thing to do, I know. Because most of you are afraid of that. Like, you would as soon, you know, get your eye poked out than to be on this stage. I get it. But think about, what if you had the opportunity to go into a town, to go into a city, and be the very first person to tell the people of that city about Jesus Christ? They had never heard the name of Jesus Christ before, and you get that opportunity. That's what he's saying about Epaphras. This is the guy who at the very beginning preached the gospel. I want him to go and go far. I want to encourage him. I want to pray for him. I want you to pray for him. I want you to encourage him. I want you to help him to get to the next town, to Laodicea, so that he can continue to encourage that church. Who are you supporting in ministry? Who are you coming beside and saying, hey, I've got you. I may not be able to do it, but I'm going to help you make it happen. That's what he's doing here. That's what he's calling the church to do. And then he mentions Luke. It's where we find out that Luke is a doctor. If you've been in church a while, you're like, oh, Luke's a doctor. Well, that's how we know. It's because he mentions it here. He also wrote the book of Luke and Acts, but he's a doctor here. We find out he's a doctor, and he's the one who's like, hey, carry the message. This guy is for you and with you. He's my beloved brother. He greets you. Hey, let me remind you of the great work that he's doing, of writing down, like, this is what Luke was doing, writing down the history while it was happening. He was writing the history of the church while it was happening. Most of us don't write anything today. And he was writing the history of the church in the moment. What a blessing. And so I want to invite you to support those in ministry. I mentioned in my e-newsletter a little blurb this week about Patrick Mahomes. Last year, he took the Kansas City Chiefs to the Super Bowl, but right before the championship game, the AFC championship game, he hurt his ankle. And there was a young lady, their assistant trainer named Julie, who was responsible solely for his recovery. And in a post-game, he gave her all the credit. Like this woman who nobody knows her name. Nobody knows who she is outside of the team. And he, in front of millions of people, gave her credit. We all need people like Patrick Mahomes to support the Julies of the world. That's you and I. We have an opportunity to support so many people in our lives, just to be an encouragement, to bring a greeting, to bring hope, to help push them forward and say, hey, keep going, keep it up. The director of the British Broadcasting Company, BBC, the sports division, he said this. He said, behind every champion, medalist, or record holder are the most incredible people who have spotted them, helped them, driven them, consoled them, and made them believe. Sometimes that's what we need. We need someone to make us believe. And they need honoring too, and that's what Paul's doing. These other men and women in ministry, he is supporting them. He mentions one lady at the end. She has a strange name, Nympha. But he just mentions her and says, hey, and to Nympha and the church in her house. Do you know who Nympha is? Nympha is a church planter in the first century. This woman opened her home. She's like Lydia in Philippi. She opened her home so that people could gather and hear the message of Jesus Christ. You and I need to support people like Nympha, who want to gather people to start churches, to encourage them to see the gospel in a new city, a new place, a new area. Who are you supporting in ministry? Who are you pouring your life into, not just collectively? Who are you praying for? Who are you encouraging? Who are you sending to go? Who are you locking arms with in the gospel? Because as he concludes this letter, he makes one final bold statement to Archippus. We'd probably call him Hippo. That'd be his nickname if he were today. He'd probably a skinny guy too. But he'd say to Archippus, hey, tell Archippus, see that you fulfill the ministry that you've received in the Lord. Remind this man of faith to keep going, to be focused on one thing, the ministry of the Lord, the gospel. And that's what I would leave you with as we think about what it means to be rooted and grounded in love. That you and I would be singularly focused on the gospel. That as we partner with others, that we gather as a church, that we connect with one another and other people, that we would be focused on the gospel, that I would take the relationship that I have with Jesus Christ, and I would share that with everyone who I come in contact with. Because this week, I can guarantee you, many of you will be in an environment, you'll be in a situation where you have the opportunity to share the truth. You have the opportunity to share the love. You have the opportunity to share the forgiveness. You have the opportunity to share the peace. You have the opportunity to share the power. You have the opportunity to share the grace of God with your family, your friends, your weird uncle, your strange teenage cousin. You're going to have the opportunity to do that this week, because we're going to be gathered together with people, some who may have a strong faith, and you need to encourage them. You need to be saying, hey, I'm with you. We're together. Let's love Jesus. Let's continue to shine brightly for Christ. You're going to have others who are wavering in their faith and they're struggling. And you have an opportunity to speak truth and love to them. You have some who might be far from God. And you have an opportunity to simply share with them the greatest news in the world. And probably before you get to Thanksgiving lunch or dinner, you're going to encounter someone at a grocery store, someone at a restaurant, somewhere else that you can bring encouragement and hope to, that maybe you might one day make it on their list of people who've impacted them. That's the goal. That's why Paul is writing all these things, that these are the people that have made a difference for eternity. I want to be that kind of person who makes a difference for eternity. And so I want to invite you this morning, as we move into our time of response, I want to invite you just to think for a few moments about the people in your life. I want you to thank God for the people in your life that have made a huge difference for you. A little note on social media. Maybe there's some people in your life that you need to say thank you to. Or maybe there's some folks in your life that you know they need encouragement, they need hope, they need a friend, they need a partner in ministry. Maybe God's calling you to be that person. So I'm going to invite you this morning just to come and pray for them, to pray for yourself that you would be a person of peace and grace and hope to them. I want to invite you to come and say, Lord, help me be focused on the gospel this holiday season. Help me to remember to be thankful in every circumstance and to look for opportunity to share the hope of Christ with somebody. Let me be paying attention, God. Help me to support others who are doing the same. Give me eyes for what's to come. Father, we ask that you would hear our prayers, that we would respond to you, and that we would celebrate your goodness. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. As we worship, I invite you to respond.